have to have special equipment?
Well, no, not necessarily too much special equipment there.
Catch your breath there, man, Mr.
Bathroom will be...
Sit down and catch your breath.
Be empty in a minute.
Where was that, Miss Eastman?
Huh?
Where was that?
Where were we at?
Come to tell you,
where was it? Where did you set a windmill up?
Oh, up in New York.
Oh.
Had it to pump water with.
Uh-huh.
In much trouble to set it up.
He had it out there in the lot, and pumped water into a big tank, see? Well, then when the wind blowed, well, he'd get down and turn the damn thing on and pump up a tank full of water. And then he'd get taken and shut it off.
Well, the only trouble with them was you had to shut them off.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Mother.
Huh?
They're just as good as any, except you have to shut them off.
And if the wind didn't blow,
you just didn't have no water.
Well, did that happen?
Well, I got an idea that it did, because it run along 2 or 3 years after that, and they got electricity through there. We disconnected the windmill there and put an electric water pump in. The same way with these rams, you know. We used to put in quite a few rams around where people had water enough to run them. Well, then as soon as they got electricity in around there so they could get the electricity down there, we just took the ram out and put an electric water pump on.
Now, what's a ram? I don't know about them.
A ram?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wastes about 3/4 of the water that it pumps. In this way, you've got to have quite a little fall from where your source is down to your rams.
Yeah.
And then you can take and run a 2-inch pipe from your source down to your ram, and that'll pump a 1/2-inch pipe full of water, see?
Yeah.
Well, the water comes down and it compresses in this air chamber in the ram, you know. And then your valve opens up and lets that water out, see, and so as your source comes down again, see, and it just keeps it going just like that, and it goes tunk, tunk, and when it hits down there, then the water flies all over.
Yeah.
Because about 3/4 of the water goes to waste.
Hey. Yeah, I got up tired this morning. That's through in there, Faith.
Mm-hmm. Mother's, they're through. The bathroom's empty now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, I see that. See if this board is long enough. I think it is.
That's a pretty one.
All right.
But you gotta tell them about how to make hay.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it?
Mr.
Eastman, this man was asking all about it, and so, can't you eat a little ice cream?
No. That window in there, I pushed the cards up in the top right there, and they come right straight down and right down. I never had a fish eat one of them.
Huh?
They come right down nice.
Yeah.
But what in the world did you have in there? I never saw as much squirrel stuff.
I didn't know that come right along down. You see, the rope was hung up in there, and I pulled the rope down. When I pulled the rope down, that stuff come right along down.
Oh.
And that made it all clear, so that when they when I poked the new ropes in there, they come right along down.
Pecans?
That's the first one that's done that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, you had to work on the others. You had to work for.
Yeah, the other ones there, the mud daubers. Nests in there, you know, one thing to another, and they just hung right on.
They're like glue.
Miss Eastman, we're talking about hay. If you put your chap there a little bit, I wouldn't have talks loud.
Yeah, well, I'm right full. We had chicken dinner down there.
Well, you don't have to eat. Just pull up here where I don't have talks loud.
I'll take this away if you don't need it.
Pull up a little bit.
But you want to talk about haying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have talks loud.
Man, I started out haying, boy. We used to rake it with a dump rake, you know, and you had to reach over and pull the handle over like this to dump the rake.
Yeah.
That was the first rakes that they had.
Well, there's one of them out there.
And then they come out with one of your dumped with your foot. It had cogs on the wheels, and you push the lever with your foot, and the cog would catch, you know, and the wheels would pull it up.
Yeah. Well, now that's the kind that's out here,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You saw that out there.
I think so. At the first one there, you had to reach over, and it had an iron handle come up there with a curve on it, you know. And you reached over and grabbed a hold of it and pulled it over, dumped it up.
Well, hurt it.
Then they come out with a side rake. The first side rake that I ever had, it looked just like these big gavel forks, you know. And they come right along like this here, and they just go just like that, just like a, but they were about that wide, see, just like a gavel fork that come along.
Yeah.
And then they come out with these with just the springs all the way along, the springs about that long, you know. Kept ticking it up.
Well, now, I never saw one of those early side rakes. So I can't quite picture that.
Yeah, the first one I ever bought had them big, just like a gavel fork on that. There were four tines on it.
Mm-hmm.
They were always this way up, you know. They come right up like this and come right around, and then they come right back up. You see the arm on it up there that holds it just the same as it does on these ones today. It holds it just that position so that it wouldn't get back like this, where up this way, it'd just be just so, and come right around.
Mm-hmm. Well, now they do work. They do the work. Mm-hmm. And no comparison to them and the old ones, is there?
No. Then they come out with a combination of tedder and a rake. You know, when your rake goes this way around, see, to rake your hay, and you have the tedder part of it, and it goes the other way, see, and kicks the hay out.
Yeah.
Well, before they made them like that, they had a regular hay tedder that went just like this, you know. You go over your hay there and kick it right out. You probably seen them, ain't you?
No.
Did you ever see one then?
I think so.
Oh, Jesus, I've rode them for miles.
Well, now, that fluffer, when did that get... You use one of them?
No, not one of these fluffers. That's a new one. It's just...
Last few years? I don't know how long they've had them down here. Well, they nice.
But you know, when I was a boy, they used to rake the hay with a hand dump rake. Then they went along and bunched it. You pitched it on the wagon by hand. Then they generally had one old man or a boy coming along right behind them there with one of these hand rakes, these little wooden rakes, you know, about that long, and rake up all the scatterings there, see, so not to waste a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now they go out with a hay loader, you know, and what they get, all right, and what they miss, why, that just lays there.
Mm-hmm.
They just get what they can get handy.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of it lays there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it pretty well sweeps it now, don't it? Ain't much left on the ground.
Well, I've seen places where there were plenty left on the ground.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sure. And then a lot of the farmers, when I was a boy, had them rail fences. You know what a rail fence is? You know, the posts up on top of the other like this, right along up. Oh. And one of them would be this way, and the next one this way, and then this way, and that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd take a scythe, go back and mow all in them corners, you know, and get that hay all out.
Oh, really? With a hand scythe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cut it all out of the corners.
Yeah.
I knew of one old Englishman that come over from England when he was a boy, and he worked for a farmer. And the farmer gave him the use of the land in where that rail fence was in there. And that old fella spaded it up nights and planted it to potatoes. And that's the way that he got it going, buying himself a farm and starting farming.
Mm.
Now, I'd like to see any of the boys today that's got guts enough to go out there and spade up a little spatch like that. But he spaded them up in between the rail fences there and growed potatoes in there.
Is that right?
That was before my time, because when I first knew this old man, he was an old man then.
Yeah. But he got along.
Yeah.
But it used to be waste not, want not.
He got started that way and got farming, and he made a lot of money, that old man did.
Yeah.
And they had 8 children, and most of them done pretty well.
Oh.
You needed children.
Hmm?
You needed them.
Yeah.
If you had a farm.
They all helped. And there was one of his boys that when he was a grown man when I was a boy, but I remember him. They raised blackberries. And he would have a team of horses on what they called a milk wagon. It was a wagon with a long bed on it, see, and just a seat in front here, a dashboard, and then a seat, and then this long back end on it here. And he would draw berries into the city and peddle them to the stores, see? So most of them to the stores. And he'd ride nights on the road, so as to be there the first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
See, it was about 25 miles to the city there. And he would drive nights to get into the city, so as to be there first thing in the morning, see, with them berries, and sleep on the road. And the horses knew where to go. And he had 2 teams of horses. He drove one team one day and the other team the next day.
Were they Belgians?
Hmm?
Were they Belgians?
Belgians? No, they were English.
The horses.
English.
No, the horses.
Oh, the horses?
Mm.
No, I wouldn't know what they was. I guess they were just what we'd call mongrels. No, in those days, they didn't have too many Belgian horses, not around that territory. They had quite a few up there after years, but most of the horses in those days was an old breed called Tego, T-E-G-O, Tego. And there was almost a white horse that had either black or brown specks in them. Most of them brown.
Hmm. Never heard of them.
Tegos, and they was tough. And then they come in with the Morgans, and there was a real breed of horses.
Now that was your favorite, your pair of Morgans.
Yeah. I had a pair of Morgans when I farmed it. One of them weighed 1,200 and one 1,225. One of them was 25 pounds heavier than the other one. And there wasn't no team that weighed a ton apiece could take the evener away from them. They were quick and snappy, and they'd get right down. I've seen them when their bellies wouldn't be that high off in the ground, and they'd just be right there just a-pushing. And when horses will get down and push like that now, they can move something, I'll tell you.
I don't think I ever saw horses push like that, Mr.
Well, they will. They're Morgan horses. That's one of the traits of them. Yes, and another thing about a Morgan horse, the reason he was a great cavalry horse, You could take and run them to beat all, and you know, when you'd run a horse to beat all, they'd stand there and they'd breathe hard in the old Harry. You'd let him take a Morgan horse and he'd come back and he'd let out a snort and he'd breathe just as natural as though he hadn't stirred out of his track. Yes, sir, I've seen him do it time and again. Let out one of them snorts and they'd breathe just as natural as though they hadn't stirred.
Oh, Mr. Eastman, I think I remember about that rake.
Yeah,
did
probably
they
pull
the thing by horses, didn't they?
Yeah.
Your Morgans probably did.
I guess the Morgans did. I don't know what kind of horses, but I think I had seen them in the out in the fields with the hay and that kind of raking it.
I raked a good many acres when I was a boy with a hand rake like that you had dumped by hand.
Well, now, would Joe Morgans compete with these workhorses up here? Cookies?
Sure they would. What are these horses up here?
They're workhorses. What are they?
Well, I got an idea they're part Morgan.
Well, I hadn't thought. Well, they don't look like Molly.
Well, they've got pretty good build to them, that pair of horses there.
Yes. Now, Morgan's got that good bill?
Yes. Yeah, Morgan's have. The Belgian horses there, they're a stockier horse, the stockier legs.
Mm-hmm.
Generally got long fetlocks.
You know, Miss Eastman, did you know they had quit, they about to quit putting up 100-pound sacks of feed?
Well, they're putting it on 50-pound bags.
Mm-hmm. You know why?
Well, the boys they got nowadays can't lift 100 pounds.
Now, them bales of hay you were brought up with, they were real bales.
Well, I've handled bales of hay that weighed 400 pounds.
No.
Yes. Sure, when they had them big hay sweeps.
Yeah.
Sure, didn't you ever see one of them?
No.
Well, they had just like a big box, you know, seen, and stood right up on the end, and seen that they'd let it down to carry it, but they'd stand right up on the end and fill it, they'd pitch it right full of hay, and a couple of fellas keep it jumping on it, see, and treading it down in there, and they'd get all they could down in there.
Yeah.
And then they shoved this top over like that, seen it locked it. Well, then this plunger come right up from the bottom. See, they went around with a sweep. The horses went around with a sweep, pulled this rope on the pulleys, you know, and it pulled this right up in there and pushed it up in there. Pushed that hay right up in there, see? Well, then they run the wires through down here and up the top and tied them on both sides.
Yeah. By hand?
Huh? Well, they had the loop in them, you know, like that, and then this other went through there and catched in there, see?
Yeah. And they did that by hand?
Yeah.
400 pounds. Well, I've seen them weighed 200 pounds, and
we
I couldn't pick them up.
You used to put about 10 bales on a wagon, and you figured you had a good load.
Good Lord!
And then when you're gonna come to the car, you get that last row up in the top of the car, and boy, you had to boost like the old Harry. Generally, take 3 men to put a bale of hay up and to get it up in the top of the car.
Yeah. Oh, now that's new to me. I didn't know about that. Yeah. Well, now, you see, here's my problem, Mr. Eastman. Up there in the corner where he was harrowing this morning, there's 5 acres up there, right up there on the top, and that's good ground up there. It has grown good grass up there. And what I want to put up there is a little coastal.
A little what?
Coastal Bermuda.
Yeah.
You see, that's a lighter hay, and it'll cure in 24 hours. And this Pangola takes 2 or 3 days. You know how that is, don't you?
Well, geez, when we first started raising alfalfa up home, you know, to grow right up tall to horse's back.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you get alfalfa up that high and you've got a heck of a crop.
Yeah.
But it's worked the lawn, took the lime all out of the the soil. You got to put that lime back if you get any crop of alfalfa up there. You got to lime it heavy.
Oh, really? Well, now you see, if I had that 5 acres in good coastal Bermuda, you know, people would come over here and just visit me and look around up there and keep their eyes peeled at that hay, you see.
Go up there and have picnics on the grass.
Yeah. Now, that's the truth. Yes, sir. The way it is, you see, they come over here and they just sort of condescending. Here's a fella, all he got is over here. Hey, anybody can have that. That's what they say. But if you've got that fine coastal, you rise up in the world.
Well, if I was going to plant it, I'll tell you what I'd do.
What are you doing?
I'd plow it and I'd disc it to beat all and get it all worked right up good.
Yeah.
Put the fertilizer right to it and seed it down.
Yeah.
I don't know whether a nurse crop on it first would help it.
What's that? He keeps up with this Social Security stuff, Mr. Eastman. You know, we were talking about that yesterday. And he can also pronounce names. Write that lady's name down there, see if he can pronounce it.
It's O-C-K-O-S-Z.
Write it down there.
O-C-K-O-S-Z.
O-C-K.
I don't know how the heck you pronounce it.
That's one hell of a name, isn't it?
Huh? It's O-C-K-O-S-Z.
You ever see that? Now, is she down there at Ocala?
Yeah. I call it Akis. I don't know whether that's right or not.
And she's in the Social Security?
Yeah.
Oh, now, you don't have any Social Security.
I never paid in on it.
Yeah. But you see, he thinks he can get some. Now, how's it going to work, Miss Eastman?
I don't know. You got to pay back, I think, in 12 quarters.
Yeah. At least $400 a quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Would it be worth it?
I think all those things are worth it if you know how to do it. Now, you signed what'd you sign down there?
I had to sign a slip that's what it was. $400.
That you made $400 a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And what did your mom, what did Miss East tell you? They won't put you in the coop.
She sent me a slip, you know, and I didn't send it right back. Either. She sent me a card. It says, sign that and mail it immediately. And she underlined the immediately with the red pencil, you know. And geez, I was just going to tell her off. Talk to me like an old maid school teacher talking to a 6-year-old kid.
Yeah.
I was going to tell her that I knew that she wasn't no old maid school teacher because she was a married woman and I wasn't no 6-year-old kid.
But you didn't.
She didn't give me a chance to.
She got you all balanced, didn't she?
What they going to do to you for saying you just made $400 a year?
Yeah, I don't know how that is going to come out.
Yeah. Well, now look, Miss Eastman, like you were telling me, you don't spend much down there.
No, I don't have much to spend.
Well, your taxes ain't high.
I don't pay any taxes.
No real estate?
No, I got homestead exemption.
No income tax?
You got homestead exemption on it down there, see, and that's now this year, you see, we had homestead exemption for $5,000, and now after this we get 10.
How come?
See? After you're so old, well, you can get
old.
Up to $10,000.
And you see,
so I signed up for the 10,000 there when they sent the homestead exemption slips in.
And he lives down there on his lake. He don't have to buy that high priced stuff, meat and all.
They give me a lot of fish. Yeah, no kidding. Here about a month ago, a fella come along over, a fella that I knew, and he says, "You want some fish?" And I said, "Sure." He says, "Give me 18. Damn, dang, nice, great big ones, you know. Then the way I do, I fillet them. See, I just take and skin the meat right off in the bone, see? Mm. When you get done, you got a piece of fish just about like that. Just about like your hand, like that, you know. Geez, well, that's when they're good eating, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you freeze them?
Yeah.
Freeze.
Yeah.
And then you can get them out and eat them whenever
you want.
You want
them. Sure.
And now that.
Go over to Cedar Keys and buy oysters by the gallon. Bring them home, put them in smaller containers, and put them in the freezer.
You know, that's fresh fish. You see, that's hard to get.
Yeah.
That's what the niggas like, Mr. Eastman. They like fresh fish. They don't want this old saltwater fish. But all the fishing holes got fences around them now, so they don't get so many of them. If you had a little acreage down there, you could keep some horses.
Yeah, well, that's what I wished I did have, but I haven't.
You could move out there a little bit and get your house trailer.
If I had about 25 acres and a good pair of Morgan horses, I'd be all set.
Yeah. Now, you had a trailer one time.
Yeah, I've had three of them.
I want you to tell them about that one with the oilcloth on it, Mr. Eastman. That was the nicest one.
The first one that I ever had was sold by Montgomery Ward. I don't know who made it. It had their sticker on it. I bought it secondhand. And it was the plywood was made, or the trailer was made of plywood, and then it had this oilcloth stuck right on the outside of it.
Red oilcloth?
Well, just like oilcloth. I don't know what they did call it, but...
I mean red color?
No, it was brown.
But the wind got it.
The wind got a whipping it, you know, and Jesus, it got it loosened up and tore it. Jesus, I went right at it with some carpet tacks, and I tacked it on.
On that quarter inch plywood. I never knew what Montgomery Ward is so.
Well, I never knew. I never saw but that one. But I heard that they sold a lot of them.
Well, now that's about 1940. That's before the war. Mm-hmm. What was it like inside?
Well, the inside of it there, it had, it was two just like a seats built in there, like these benches to in a restaurant there where they have them booths there, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the table part hooked in the wall up here like that, and then had one leg back here. Well, you took that and folded the leg up and dropped it right down on them seats there, and the cushions that you sat on and the cushion on the back went right down there and made a bed in there. See, that was just a small trailer, and it had that in there, and then on the other end of it, it had a gas stove and sink and a little ice box.
Yeah. Well, that was a pretty good arrangement.
Well, remember that, and then that was on one side, and on the back side there, it had a one of them day bed likes, you know, that you could fold it out there, and somebody could sleep on that.
Gee whiz. And I'll bet you one thing, it held together. It's sturdy.
Well, I got an idea. It probably was better made than they're making them today.
Yeah. Now, and you've owned trailers since then?
Yeah, I had two of them since then.
You never lived in one?
Hmm?
You didn't live in them?
I lived in one of them. The other two, the first two that I had on the farm up there. The house burned up on the farm. My son was staying up there, and he had to have something to stay in, so I bought them trailers.
Mm-hmm.
But this, the last trailer that I had was a Schult, a 21-foot Schult. And that had the bedroom in the back, and then the living room and the kitchen and everything was all right combined in there, see? And it had a stove and the ice box. Right in the sink, all right in together.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know the trailers, I didn't really know they went back that far. Now, this one out here is 1950, so it's pretty well back.
50.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
50, early 50s, I don't know. Just.
Well, you see, that first one I bought in 1940, and I bought it secondhand. I forgot what year that was made. Seems to me it was in 36.
Oh, gee. You know they went back that far?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even conscious of house trailers at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember an early school bus, because I saw Pappy Collar had a picture of one, the first one that they had there in his neighborhood. He made it, he built it. But it's just a little bitty thing, you know, built on the bed of an ordinary truck.
They probably were better trailers than the one you ran into the other day.
Yeah, but you know, the first one of these campers that I ever saw, they were a fellow up home, and he and his wife were separated, and he had a sister that lived in California, and his father and mother wanted to go to California to see their sister, so he had a Buick touring car. And I helped him. We cut it right off, right back of the front seat. And built just like a shanty right on the back of that thing there, you know, for him to sleep in. And they had a little kerosene stove that they had to cook on. And we built it up the sides up there, you know, and a roof over the top of it. But they drove that to California and back. And that was a forerunner of one of these campers.
When is that, the 30s?
That was around, let's see, 26, around
28, 29. Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good. And he didn't have much money in it. But you know, these campers now, you can put a whole lot of money in them.
Yeah.
They got them special trucks, you see, built for them. You can spend $5,000 or $6,000 on those trucks.
Yeah. Down there, I live right next to the trailer court. Geez, every once in a while, there's one of them motor homes come in there, you know. Boy, you know, some of them cost $15,000,
$20,000. Well, I never saw one that costly. What do they have in them that makes them cost so much?
Well, either they've got it's a regular truck, you know, you see, with this house all built right into it. Some of them, well, I've seen some of them down there, I bet you they're 30 feet long.
Yes.
And they tell me that they cost $15,000, $20,000, some of them.
Yes. I didn't know that. I'd love to see something like that. They just come through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you see, Ward, he lives down there where he can find out things. He's got Mr. McCloskey, he's right next to you. What's his name?
McDougal.
McDougal.
Yeah. That's not so very big.
No, he owns that place right up back there, you know, that connects on to it, see?
Yeah.
It's got 10 acres in it that he figured on running some trailers up in there. But he rented the place, see, right out, and the fellow told him to keep the trailers off in there. So now all he's got is just that little patch down there, oh, there's probably a couple acres in it, isn't there?
Yeah. Now who is, Hargis was the big one when you was...
Well, Hargis had 10 acres. Hargis had 10 acres down there.
Yeah.
But down here in this other little trailer court, I'll tell you an experience we had down there a couple of weeks ago. Well, about a month ago, there was a couple trailers pulled in there, and they was they had an outfit for cleaning septic tanks. And you know, they was going out in the morning, you know, about twice a week. They went out, and they'd be gone about all day. I kind of mistrusted that they was dumping that over in the county dump down there, mm-hmm. just down just below us there. So I followed them down one day. Well, you know, they got in that dump and they emptied that and got out of there quicker than scat, see? And they just dumped it right there and let it run all over where everybody else got to drive through it. Well, it made me a little bit mad, so I called the sheriff. The deputy come up and I told him, he says, I'll go right down and look at it. I said, you want me to go with you? No, he says, I can see by myself. All right. So, the next morning, there were some fellas come there and tried to get them to come and clean their septic tanks, and they wouldn't do it. They got out of there. So I think that the law got right after them, see? Mm-hmm. Well, they went. Well, old McDougal, he was sore at me about that. Then it run along, pretty near 2 weeks. Geez, all at once I was working up to McIntosh, and as I went along down, here was a whole string of trailers down there and turning and going in down there, see? And they had my road where, you see, I come down 441 and I turn up there just by the trailer court, and then I drive in my driveway. It's right there, just the trailer court between me and 441. Well, I turned onto my road there, and here was this trailer right crossways of the road. Well, I blowed the horn. I knew there was a bunch of gypsies with all of them trailers in there, see, and I motioned for him to get out of the way. So he drove ahead, and I went on up and went in home. Well, they was there about a week. They got running over to the restaurant, and that's right just across the road, across 441 from this trailer court. Indeed, they run in there so much, you know, and they run so much water out there that they drowned him out. The water wouldn't soak away, see, and it commenced backing up. So he called me, and I went over, and I dug up the septic tank and loosened the cover, and the water come up out of that, and so that it would drain out of the buildings there. And the next day, he got a fellow from Fairfield come and dig it up, dig up the tile out there, see, and make some fresh drainage out there. They went up, they was going up to the gas station too, and they flooded him out up there, and he wouldn't let them have the key to it anymore. One of the old women says, son of a bitch, she says, and then he says, she started in chattering in Spanish. He says, I don't know what she said, but he says, I know it wasn't anything good. So he called up the health department. And the restaurant fella called up the health department. They didn't pay much attention to him. Well, I was talking to Barnard. He didn't know what he was going to do. Well, I said, I'm going to call him up down there and I'll see what they tell me. Well, I called him up and I told him. Well, he said they had two complaints up and up there, but he said, I didn't think it was anything like that. I said, you ain't got to take my word for it. All you got to do is come down here. I said, Jesus, They just come right out right to the back of the trailer, said, and they take their foot and dig a little bit of a hole, said, and squat right on it. I said, you come right down, and I said, I'll show you. He says, I'll be there just as quick as my car can bring me. And I guess he was, because just about an hour after that, boy, them gypsies had a council of war over there, and they was all right around the circle, and there's one fellow in the middle there, and he was shaking his arms and one thing and another, having a big time. And about an hour after that, they were starting hooking onto them trailers, and there were five of them went that night, and the next morning they all went.
Well, what kind of outfit would that be, Mr. Eastman?
They're just old-fashioned gypsies. Sure, when I was a boy, they traveled with a team of horses on a covered wagon, you know?
Yeah.
Sure, and they'd stop on somebody's lot, and they'd set the damn wagon right around the circle. There'd be one here and one here, right around the circle there, and then they'd be right in the middle.
Yeah.
Sure, and the kids were scared to death, you know, because they used to tell us that the gypsies would steal the kids and sell them.
Yeah. That'd keep you undercover, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
They always had a crowd of dogs.
And then they always used to go around trading horses and one thing and another, everything they could.
I wished I'd been a little bigger then, where I could have, you see, I saw them do that, but you see, I didn't know what was going on. Now, did you ever see him just actually trading horses?
Well, I don't know. I was a little bit too small.
Yeah.
No one did that, but I heard him tell about it after trading horses.
Yeah.
Well, then they got traveling in automobiles, and geez, they were trading automobiles. And
yeah. And then if they went in a store, they'd come out.
But you know, this bunch down here. Now, they all had Chevrolet trucks, all but one. There was one GMC, and they was all, well, not over a couple of years old.
How do they
trucks.
Buy those?
Huh?
How do they buy those?
I don't know.
Of course, they don't have to pay for them.
I know they... They come up to the drugstore in McIntosh and wanted to get some medicine and give a check for it. they didn't get the medicine either.
Oh, really? Now, that's a new one, Miss Eastman. I did not know the gypsies that even there was any gypsies anymore.
They have all their fancy colored dresses, you know, and they wear their dresses clear to the ground. And dance around there.
You mean now? This time? Down there?
Sure. Then they had a lot of them hanging on the... They had a clothesline out there, and had it full of that fancy stuff.
Yeah.
So that everybody that went by knew there was a bunch of gypsies there.
Yeah. Well, was that at MacDougall's?
Huh?
Was that at MacDougall's?
Yeah.
And he took them in?
Yeah.
Well, did he get... sore at you again?
Well, I've got an idea that he is. I don't know. I haven't seen him.
Well, he's right next door to you, Miss Eastman.
Yeah.
You don't get much of his business.
No, I don't get any of it. There were two fellas from Indiana come down there, and they had a little trailer, and they sat right there, right just off in the driveway. And they come over, talking to me over there. They called from the restaurant and wanted me to come right over there for something. So I went over there, and they stayed and talked to my wife. And they were telling her that they wanted to buy a little place down here somewhere. Well, when I got back home, she told me about it. And I knew where there was a little place down here in McIntosh for sale, so I thought I'd be doing them a favor. So I just stepped over there to tell them. Jesus, old McDougall see him, he go down there, he drives a Cadillac car. Jesus, he come tearing around there with that old Cadillac car, and he says, hey, there's something that you want. Well, I said, these fellas here were talking to my wife, and they wanted to buy a little place down here, and I said, I know where there is a place, and so I thought I'd tell them and do them a little favor. Oh, he says. Well, I went on home.
That's easy when you put your foot in your mouth every night, then, don't
you? Yeah.
Well, I tell you, sometime, we wouldn't do it today, but sometime, they may come out here again sometime. I think one of the most remarkable things I ever heard was that civic club business down there with your sister-in-law. That was, let me tell you, Phyllis, I won't tell you in this private business, but he was up there putting in these plate glass doors, these sliding doors, and sprucing up the house so that they could have some company from up the country. And all the time, Mr. Eastman was, and somebody, how did it go, Mr. Eastman? You're the civic club, you all have an election.
Yeah.
And she's out electioneering against him and, and calling him an old cooter. What did they call you?
No, but you know, I'd been vice president of the club for 10 years, see, and everything, and I was all set for being president. Jesus, she went right out and got the people to vote against me to vote for this telephone fellow that's an itinerant.
Oh.
See, he's just staying here. He stays on their place down there in the trailer. See? And she thinks he's just about God Almighty, you know. And she went right out electioneering against me to get him in as president of it. So.
But the thing of it is, she called him an old cooter.
So it was the
next, and he's up there sprucing up her house. What she called him, Mr.
So the next day. The next day, I sent her a bill for what work I'd done over there, and I told her what I thought of her for doing that. Now, I said, all that I want of you is just a check for this bill that I'm sending to you. And so they didn't pay it, so at the end of the month, what the heck was that? And she called me.
Fossil.
The old fossil?
Huh?
Old fossil?
Old fossil, yeah. She called me an old fossil, and that they wanted somebody that was young in there that would get a lot of new members and one thing or another, and Jesus, they haven't got any new members or nothing. So when, here last week, you know, this Beringstein from Miami, got after Marion County there to get one of those fountains in down there and have that highlight. Well, they advertised a big meeting to have this Beringstein come up there and talk to them and tell them what a wonderful thing this fountain was going to be. And they had six of them showed up to hear him.
Yeah, what? You throw the monkey wrench in it.
Just six of them showed up there to hear him.
What'd you do, take the signs down?
No, I didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah. But when they have the meetings now, the dinners, they just go around and sort of tell people.
Yeah, they just go around for word of mouth. We always used to put up a notice, you know, see, the meetings, one thing or another, and then once a month we put on a potluck supper. God, we used to get from 60 to 100 people to a potluck supper down there and have a heck of a good time.
Yeah.
Geez, now I guess that they get probably around 20 come in there for potluck supper now.
Yeah. You know, that place ain't what it used to be, Mr. Eastman. Yeah. Is any life at all down there?
Not too much.
Well, now, you see, down there for a while, that auction on Saturday night, that was nice. Do they still do that?
No, we haven't had no auctions down there in, these are pretty near 2 years.
Oh, that long?
Pretty near it.
He's an old auction man.
Yeah.
I haven't been to too many auctions, but I go to a sale at drop of a hat. I like those sales.
Mr. Eastman bought that stove over there for me and Mother for $6 at that auction.
Yeah. Right now, you see, he's acquainted with that old system you all have up country there. You have an auction at home. You put your stuff out in the shed and come around and buy it.
And farm auctions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, farm.
House auctions.
Yeah. Now, you've gone to some of them down here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, that's what I sort of getting at this morning about them tools. I thought you had a lot of, maybe a lot of double extras.
You're going to have an auction them off. I guess I better hurry up and get done.
What'd the man tell you, Mr. Eastman?
Huh?
What'd the man tell you?
What did I?
When you asked him about what he's going to do with all them tools.
Oh. If he lives a little longer, he's going to have more of them.
Mr. Eastman's just got enough rope for one half of a window left.
Yeah.
And he's got a whole window to fix.
I got.
You got some clothesline?
I think I can find a piece that'll fix that other part of the window, Mr. Eastman.
Sure you can.
Yeah, I sure can.
Mr. Eastman, we enjoyed the visit.
Thank you, Mr. Eastman.
I got to go over to the Trade Winds tomorrow. They've got a big fan, 30 inches square, seeing a big hole up out of the kitchen there, and the fan sets in it. It sucks the air and the smoke out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that it used to have louvers on it, but there isn't any there now. It hasn't been since I know anything about it.
Yeah.
Well, now the restaurant inspector says that he's got to have that covered up at night so there can't no bugs get in there. So I got to make a cover that'll just drop down over it at night, see, and have it pull it up in the daytime with a pulley.
Oh.
I don't know whether, but what that fan in there, maybe if I make that right, maybe that fan will blow it and hold it up.
Yeah.
You gonna let our roof wait a while till it rains?
Yeah.
Well, Mister, I don't know how you stayed up here as long as you have. You got. Hargett's old court? Who's down there now?
No, I don't do anything down at Hargett's court anymore. That's Frank Williams.
That's Frank Williams. He does it all himself? Well, you got the J.O. Kevins.
Yeah.
And the Trade Winds. And Johnny Palmer.
Yeah.
And who else?
No. Oh, I got too many.
All these other people. And you see, something is always going wrong over at the Trade Winds. Do they have to have much work over there at the J.O. Cabins?
Oh, quite a little.
Yeah, a little all along.
I got to fix the oven over there and one of them electric stoves over at the Trade Winds, too. And that's a son of a gun to fix. It's a three-phase stove.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear of one?
No.
It's a three-phase stove.
Electric? Oh, what's a phase?
Most of them, you know, are all single phase.
Yeah.
But they take all of these big restaurants from a thing, now they run a three phase line in there because it don't cost as much to run them. They buy electricity cheaper for three-phase outfits than they do for a single phase.
But now you see, he's an electrician, too. All this plumbing. I want to show you this thing here, Walt, before I get it. Mr. Eastman, I want to show him this shower.
How'd you learn all this stuff?
How'd I learn? I run a building business up north there, and we've done everything from the time the cellar was dug to the house was ready to move into. We even sanded and varnished the floors.
Sanded and varnished
it. I had 17 men working for me at one time.
Oh, gracious. Now, where was that? Up in where?
New York.
New York.
Right up in the middle of the state. I was about 30 miles southeast of Syracuse.
Oh, yeah.
And about 4 miles from where I lived, there was a town called Morrisville, and that was supposed to be the exact center of the state. It was the same distance from there on up to the northeast corner as it was down to the southeast corner and over here to the west. You see, New York is a good deal like on a triangle, like, you see.
Is it working all right? Just fine.
Well, that was, you've done a lot of work then, different kind of work. It's the reason you know something about all that.
I've done everything in the building line.
In the building line.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful, I think. I wish that I knew something about it. I could fix my own, repair things.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
You could repair something in
there. Now, this old war stuff, Miss Eastman, but you can double it.
I'm going to sneak some more of this.
No, you can't double it.
Well, just have it. Here's some of mine. I just pinched off some of this. I haven't eaten all of it. I haven't eaten all this.
So good. Well, that worked.
I think we had that left from the greens when they were here the other night. For a picnic.
Delicious.
Okay. She made it in just a minute. She really is.
Hey, I'm going to do the dishes for you.
No, you're not, because I don't have to.
No, just leave the dishes alone.
I'm into your cake again, but it's delicious.
That is not even a fancy one. Now, you sit down here.
See, I can't, finish it. Finish it up.
I finished my tea, so I'm going to finish my tea. Tomato plants now. I mean tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
They have the green one. That's their color when they're ripe.
Mm-hmm.
And all and oh, of course.
Well, Zach brought home a couple. We're gonna put them out the corner of the house. What can I do?
I'm saying, we're just gonna have a little coffee.
Oh, you didn't give him some.
He doesn't drink.
He doesn't drink.
Is Mrs. Eastman around still? And does he live now next to the park, but he has a house there? Is that the arrangement?
Mm.
He's next to the park.
Trail Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he's on in a, his house or what?
Sure.
He's got a nice little house.
Several houses up.
Why
I use that Dutch.
Dutch ice cream.
I thought it was going to rain there. Sorry, it's getting dark.
Yeah.
I tell you, I almost didn't get in. Get him in. I made the mistake of saying we were going to have some dessert.
Yeah.
So I switched real quite quickly, and I said, "You just." He said, "No, he's had dinner. He doesn't eat between meals. He'd had chicken dinner." Yeah. So when he said something about the hay, that was all right. You got it.
He just has one son, John. Is that all?
No.
Now, Phyllis, you've got a great deal of information about him from his talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's much more information, much more interesting than his biographical stuff.
Now, what you mean about, what do you mean, guy?
I mean, you see him in a more interesting way from his talk than you do from all that biographical
stuff. Oh, I see what you mean. Mm-hmm.
He lives in this world. you see, what happens is, you see, a fine old way of life will go to pieces because it's got no critical stops.
Well,
you have to have a, huh?
I don't know, I think so.
You have to have a...
You mean like life down in Macintosh?
Anyway, whatever it is, you've got to have a critical property. You've got to. It won't maintain itself, you know.
Well, I don't know. A lot of those people have been there for a long time. You think they're the last ones? There's nobody to replace them. Their kids aren't going to continue that.
That's
is that
right.
What you're saying?
That's right. Because you see, the people themselves don't have a critical hold of it, and the children aren't able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got it. Now, I'll show you what I mean. I'll bring it in now.
I don't know his family, but they're not interesting.
Yeah. None of the children stay around here, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without his employer. Mm-hmm.
He's a sweet person.
And it works for the educated people too. Now this is Rick. You know Rick.
No, the name from the horse.
He's the one that did those. Now that's his first report on his daddy. He knew he don't have to read it all. He knew the middle of it.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I think you mentioned
Cookie's all gone? Have a cookie, Mama?
No, thank you. She had one in that room, coffee.
You gonna wash up, Mamma?
Is this one of your freshman students, or is he a graduate student?
He finished, I think, last year.
Mm-hmm.